Welcome to the Anywhere Office.
Hi, this is Phil Montero of theanywhereoffice.com, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast. This episode is part of our 13-part series, Telecommuting in the 21st Century, How to Implement or Improve Virtual Teams and Flexible Work in Your Organization. Our panel includes myself, Jeff Zabar, founder of ChiefHomeOfficer.com, who will be facilitating the discussion, and Rachel Hastings, vice president of WFCResources.com. In part three today, we'll discuss what to look for in a telework candidate based on a number of factors. All right, Jeff, do that voodoo that you do so well.
We're going to look at what to look for in a telework candidate. Not everyone necessarily fits the bill, but I think we have some attributes and character traits that work, from independence, motivation, accountability, communication. Phil, take a stab. Tell us what you've seen in your research and your work with organizations as to what makes for a good telework candidate.
I think these are all really valid points, and I think two of the main ones I would say would be that, you know, someone that can work on their own and be independent, someone that needs a lot of hand-holding, that's often why, and I don't always agree with this, but often they'll say to not let a new employee work remotely until they're more accustomed with the flow of work, and I don't think that's necessarily true. I think some employees or some people that you have in your organization are just adept at, even if they are a new employee, would be fine working in that manner because they don't need a lot of hand holding and they are good at communication, so they can communicate effectively regardless of whether they're in front of you or not. And I really think that, you know, coming back to that, it's really the communication skills. With all the organizations I've worked with, when I come in and try to help them improve their virtual teamwork or their distributed work, one of the big stumbling blocks with having people out of the office is that the communication breaks down, and that breakdown of communication can often lead to erosion of trust and a number of the lost productivity. So I think, you know, finding employees that have good communication skills to begin with, you can develop those skills, and I think that, you know, even if someone is struggling with some of those things, there's training that you can put into place and in order to improve it. But I think someone who has a base good, particularly with email or phone skills, if they're good at those type of things, then they'll be more effective.
Absolutely. Rachel?
I'm glad, Phil, that you mentioned that point about eligibility for, you know, your longevity with the company, because I think organizations should be looking to recruit people to specific positions and to recruit them for, you know, work away from the office, not having to onboard them and then allow it as a privilege. Maybe we'll talk about that whole, is it a right or a benefit, or, you know, what is telework? Because a lot of people still see it as being, you know, an accommodation of some sort or something that only suits the employee. The other thing that I'm thinking about, you need to be professional when you're working from home. However, and I'm sure you two have found this as well, sometimes you can gain greater rapport with somebody once you start to stray into talking about, oh, yeah, I'm working from home. Oh, yeah, so am I. You know, and I've got these responsibilities, and this is what's happening with me. And that can actually be very professional, but you need to make a very good judgment about when that's suitable, to let people know that that's what you're doing and you're in your pajamas or whatever it is. And I think the other thing is that you need to be very mature as well. You need to recognize when you need to reach out for support, when you're getting a bit isolated, lonely, losing focus as well. And that's I think, a hallmark of a good teleworker, is somebody who's willing to grow up from that kind of parent-child relationship that they might have with their organization, with their boss, and to really say, I'm going to be a partner in the business here in a full sense, and I wish to be treated as an adult, and I'm going to work accordingly.
Well, you go back and you look at the traits that make for a good telework candidate, and somebody who, again, we'll get into this, but it's not a right, but a privilege. Organizations can say no, and if they have their reasons, as opposed to just because, or we've never done it. I was speaking with a woman who's an executive or a manager with a major telecommunications company yesterday, and they often were known as being very, very forward-thinking in telework, and they've pulled back on it of late, and it was a just because. Not because it doesn't work, but new management came in, and it doesn't suit the style of new management. And that's the last reason you want to decline telework either on an individual basis or on a holistic basis across the organization because I said so, because I don't like it. And we're going to get into that in the next slide, which looks at what makes for a good telework manager. You know, and we're not looking maybe holistically up and down and across the organization from the CEO and the C-level down, but really on the individual level by departments, people who are going to be managing the people in the field.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Anywhere Office Podcast. For more information and other tips on working from anywhere, visit us at theanywhereoffice.com. Join us next week for part 4 of our series on telecommuting in the 21st century, where we'll look at what makes a good telework manager.